artists, geeks, and purveyors of stabby goodness. Welcome to the Knife Freak Show. My name is Jonathan McNeese, joined by my co-host, Mr. Chase Boatwright.
Hello, and good day, sir.
All right, so here's the big question. Are you recovered and back to normal yet from Blade Show?
I don't know if I've ever claimed to be normal, but yes, this week was definitely more recovery than not. How about you guys?
Yeah, I might be getting close to being back to normal for this coming week. This past week, I definitely was not. I was physically and mentally, I was still fried. So
yeah, pretty much me too. I just kind of never got out of first gear. Didn't really do a whole lot of knife stuff. You know,
yeah.
I was dragging most of the week, but yeah, it's getting better.
Yep. This week should be quite a bit better. It's kind of been lucky in a way here this weekend. It's been raining a lot and stuff, so it's kind of minimized the kind of some of the stuff I could have done around the house. So it's kind of forced me to take it a little easier than I probably would have. So
yeah, that
disguise there.
That does help. But you know, there's always the stuff that kind of languishes before Blade Show. Like I know my grass needed to be cut real bad. And so that's what I did yesterday, was cut grass and do some stuff around the house that needed to be done. Right. But that also kind of helps. You're working, but you're not doing knife stuff. So it's kind of like, you know.
Yeah, kind of recharge your brain a little bit.
Yeah. I kind of enjoy yard work in that way that, you know, I'm being productive, but I'm not necessarily doing knife stuff. So it's not as high stakes, yeah. I guess.
Right. You don't have to think about it a whole lot. It's just, you just kind of do it. Your mind can wander.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, so overall, how did you feel like the show was for you? Good, bad, ugly?
No, it was great. Great as always. Yeah. You know, the whole thing, you know, a million people have said it in a million different ways. You know, you go for the knives, you stay for the people sort of thing. And, you know, once I guess my expenses are covered for the show, once, you know, the table and the room are covered, you know, anything beyond that is just extra. It's bonus. You know, that's all I really, you know, hope to accomplish. And, you know, I did that. I sold, by the time I got home, 7 out of 10 were sold. Sold 6 of 10. Nice. At the show. So
nice.
Yeah. What about you guys?
Yeah, it was really good. It was, oh man, it was probably the, as far as like how busy the booth was and stuff, I would say it's probably the busiest we've ever been.
It was, I know we hardly got to speak for most of the show because every time came over, you were busy and everybody else was busy too. And
yeah, it was insane. Yeah. We barely, so some of this conversation about Blade Show on my end is going to be pretty slim because I'll be honest, we barely made it out of the booth. Like for the first 2 days, we basically made it back and forth to the bathroom and that was about it. And then, you know, that was, you know, buzzing through the nearest close couple of aisles to get there and back. And then Sunday we actually went out, we had 2 or 3 stops that we wanted to make sure we hit or whatever. And everything else just kind of fell by the wayside, unfortunately. So
yeah, that was very much me as well, with my daughter being a little bit bigger and less easy to control. Her and my wife weren't in the show a whole lot this year. She was entertaining her, so I didn't have anybody to watch the table or anything like that for any significant amount of time. I got away for an hour or two maybe on Sunday, but that was about it.
Yeah. Which, but it's a good thing that to be that busy or whatever. But so it was, yeah, as far as, and I don't know what the attendance was or anything. And before we go any farther, I want to stop and do a shout out to the Blade Show crew, Alicia and those guys. They always do a phenomenal job. They always take care of us.
Yes.
Make sure things run smooth. It's, you know, it's fantastic to do a well-run show like that. So
yeah,
hats off to them, and we appreciate them always. So if anybody talks to her on a regular basis that's listening to this, you can tell the Knife Freak Show said thank you.
I couldn't even begin to imagine the wrangling of cats that she has to endure for that weekend, and for, you know, and I'm sure it's months and months in advance of trying to figure it all out.
Yeah. Can I get a table, or can I move my table, or can I do this, or can I do that, or what about this? And then there is no telling the just truckloads of issues that come to her during the show or whatever. Like,
yeah.
Oh man. It's, yeah.
That is not a job I would want or that I envy or anything of that nature.
And she does a fantastic job. As her and her crew, they do a fantastic job. I don't know many of them except for her and Woody. Woody's a good dude too. He always handles the awards stuff as far as like the logistics of telling everybody where to kind of guiding the ship on the awards stuff, and he does other stuff too, but that's just where I always see him. So gotcha. Anyway, those guys did a fantastic job, and we appreciate them. That allows us to do our job. So yeah, that's so so yeah, back to how it was. The traffic was great. We sold a crap ton of knives. We took a lot of knives, and we did end up selling a fair amount to dealers, which pretty much always happens. Matter of fact, these days I pretty much go with that in mind. Like we took a significant amount of extra knives beyond what I ever intended on putting on the table just for dealers. I basically had a case back there, a big giant case, and was like, all right, this is y'all's, you know, this is dealer stock. Y'all go through it and pick out what you want or whatever. So yeah, all in though. Yeah, we sold a lot of knives.
Sweet.
As usual, I'm guessing it was the same for you. As usual, the Friday sales in general were better.
Yeah.
As far as like straight to the customer.
I think this was the first year I didn't sell anything to dealers or anything. Past couple of years, great. I've sold a few to dealers. Like they've got in on lotteries or they've came by and picked up fixed blades and stuff. And I had a couple come by and ask if I had like fixed blades and stuff. And I just didn't have any this year. So, I mean, I guess that's part of it, but, I take that back. I did sell one fixed blade to a dealer. I sold one to Freight Unlock. So that counts, I guess.
Cool.
I forgot about that one.
Yeah. That's always good when you can, I mean, it's good that I don't mind at all selling to dealers at the show, but I also want, which is why I said we try to bring extra stock because I want as many customers to be able to buy directly from us as possible. I mean, they spent the money going through the effort to get there and all that. And, you know, if they're wanting to come and buy them firsthand from us like that, then I'd prefer them to have the option than just unload them all to dealers right off the bat. But
oh, for sure.
So and that's good.
But Hope, who buys for Freight Unlock, has both bought from me as a dealer and as a customer. So, like, you know, I'm always happy to deal with her and, you know, them.
We like Hope.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. So, like, I think the consensus is that basically on Fridays, you know, you have the early bird tickets for one thing, mm-hmm. and you just have a more, you know, the people that are the really hardcore, for the most part, not all of them, you have some that just absolutely just can't swing it, but most of the really hardcore collectors and stuff are going to be there on Friday. They're going to take off. They're, you know, a lot of them are camped out and already in line.
A lot of them are there Wednesday or Tuesday. Like,
yeah, right. And they are. And honestly, and I mean, the way, depending on who they're buying from, I think some of them are able to even pick some stuff up on Wednesday or Thursday. If they have the right connections or whatever, well, that's, you know, we might get into that later, but that's a whole nother thing. But I feel like you have more of your serious, like the people that are, they know what they're there for. They're coming. They might just be trying to choose between colors or configurations or something, but they have a really good idea of what they're there after, and they're coming and, you know, and hitting it. So like our very best sales, I think, peaked at like 10 o'clock on Friday. Like it's just, that's when the real serious people for the most part are there. Again, there are definitely some, so we had some heavy hitter collectors that came through on Saturday that were, you know, just for whatever reason can't be there on Friday. It happens. But the majority of your big serious collectors are going to be there. You get a lot more just average, you know, looky loos, tire kickers or whatever on Saturday. Still a lot of people buying knives, but it's more, you know, it tends to be more like local people or semi-local people that aren't, you know, just, they want to go to a knife show. They're not necessarily there for a specific brand or, you know, they're not the ones that's been stalking your Instagram posts for the last 2 months to see what you're bringing and all that, you know, which like Saturday, a lot of times are a really good day for making a lot of new customers and a lot of new contacts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get to, I feel like a lot of the people on Friday that come by and see us are people that already know who we are. You know, they know where they're at. You know what I mean? They found us on the map or whatever. They're coming there on purpose. Saturday, you get people wandering around. Sunday, some too, but each day kind of lessens a little bit, I feel like. So
yeah, Saturday's definitely the day for when people start to, you know, that, you know, they may have been there Friday and picked up whatever they, you know, were going for, and then Saturday is the meander day to kind of see the rest of the show and, you know, discover new things, as it were. So,
yep. So that was cool. And I will say too, right off the bat, before I forget, that had, just like at the Texas show, I was actually very kind of surprised and humbled by how many people came by and talked about listening to the show.
Yeah.
So that was fantastic. Lots of good encouragement. I mean, people literally like, don't stop doing it. Like, y'all please keep doing the show. So like, to all of you that did come by and give us feedback, thank you so much, because like, we're just kind of talking into a screen here. And other than seeing the comments and stuff, you know, on those stuff, I mean, we can look at the numbers of how many people are listening, but it doesn't necessarily correlate to, you know, the same as when individuals are actually coming up to you and being like, yeah, I listen to it on my, you know, while I'm traveling, I listen to it. I download them to listen to it on the plane, or every week I'm listening to it on my way to work. Like, it's really cool, because we don't see that or stop and think about it as much on our end as we should, just because we're not, you know, we're not getting to interact with you that much on a normal basis. So
yeah,
it makes it really cool.
Yeah, I definitely had, you know, a bunch of people come up to my table and say they enjoy the show, or, you know, give suggestions or other stuff like that. And I very much enjoyed meeting you guys, you know, especially some of the guys that are serial commenters and, you know, participators and stuff like that. It was good to meet you guys and put a face to the name and all that.
Absolutely. Yep. We greatly appreciate it, guys. And so we're not planning on stopping. We don't worry. We're actually trying to get better. We were just talking about, we're going to try to start getting a little better on some of the technical stuff.
Yeah.
Working on some microphone options and stuff like that, because I know some of our sound hasn't been great. And at some point I want to try to figure out how to do a little better space on my end of a recording booth that has better acoustics and stuff. So,
same for me. Yeah.
Right. Sound and look a little more professional.
Yeah. I'm just kind of tucked in a corner right now, and I hope to kind of get that, you know, better squared away to be more presentable.
Right.
At some point.
Right. And I'm not going to lie, guys, supporting us and buying our products doesn't hurt, because that's what helps allow us to have the money to be able to do stuff like that. So we appreciate you buying our stuff, because that for sure helps.
Yeah.
Since we're just basically self-funding the show. We don't have any sort of, you know, like, well, I guess the shirts that you sold at the show were the first thing that we've actually sold that's show related. So like, we don't make any money off of the show, just like doing it.
Yeah, for sure. And speaking of the shirts, still got a fair number of them left. I will be putting them up on my website, hopefully this next week, and I will I will be doing that. That way I'll put my feet to the fire and actually do it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. And they came out really cool, guys. Like, y'all need to check them out. He did a good job on them. So,
thank you.
Definitely check those out.
Also, for something, I guess, sort of, you know, getting its first mass market thing at Blade Show, what was the overall reception of the Dixons?
Oh, it was really, really good. Like, I was good. Tons and tons and tons of people came by there and checked them out, played with them. You know, we sold a whole bunch of them, but we also have tons of people, of course, that came by and checked them out that you know, that just wasn't in their budget or on their list for this right that moment or whatever. So,
yeah,
just tons of people came and checked them out.
I know a bunch made their way over to my table. Like, you know,
really?
I saw, I don't know, probably 8 or 10 that, you know, people, you know, because I always ask people, what, you know, have you picked up anything cool?
Right.
Because, you know, like we said, we don't get to really go out and see a lot of the stuff at the show. So I get to, live vicariously through people and be like, hey, what you got? You know?
Yep.
And I get to see knives that way.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was good. Tons of, like, the feedback. I mean, and I had told my guys, we had a couple of guys that never worked the show before. And obviously, we never had Dixons at the show before, but.
Yeah.
But same, it's always been the same thing, even with the Mac too. But like, watching people's faces when they open them for the first time is like, I wish one of these years we're going to get sophisticated enough to have like a professional cameraman and stuff. And I'm going to have it set up so that we can like be recording everybody's almost like a time lapse, whatever, of everybody coming through the booth. If I just had like a montage of people's faces as they open them for the first time, man, it would be the best advertising commercial ever, because it's like their faces just light up, their eyes get big. A lot of times it's like, ooh, like it's just,
yeah,
I told my guys before that show, I was like, that's going to be, you watch, that's going to be the best part of it. And sure enough, they were like, yeah, I see what you mean. Like, that was, everybody was like, watching their reaction was really cool.
So, yeah. Especially when you do it, you know, day in, day out, you're, you know, you've seen them, you've built them, you know, for talking about like your guys working, like, you know, and then it getting to kind of be a payoff a little bit more so than just, you know, the, you know, obviously paycheck and stuff. But like, you know, getting to see that definitely is like, oh, that's why we're doing that.
That's right. And that's why all these little things that we harp on are important, because the end result makes people make that cool, impressed face that they make when they check them out for the first time. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it was the only thing I think that was, and I don't consider it negative feedback. I knew it was going to be a thing when I designed this, was just that there was a few people, you know, oh, it's a little too big for me or whatever, which is, I mean, if we'd have made a smaller version, we'd have had the exact same thing. It would have been people saying it was a little too small for them. So you can never, it's a Goldilocks deal. You can't ever get it just right. Like, but, and I don't intend to. I mean, that's why we make different sizes, you know, and stuff. So, but I did make the point to several people. I was like, you know, having a knife that's too big has never really hurt anything. Having one that's too small, you know, it's too small to do a job, that's one thing. You're not going to say, oh, this is too big to do a job, but for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, like of the, you know, sort of modern primitive cultures or just, you know, past primitive cultures where, like, you know, if you have one knife, you have a machete.
Right,
because
right.
It can do
everything with a machete, yeah.
Yeah, because it can do everything and can do the small task and the big task. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Plus, it was, I really wish, looking back on it now, I would have encouraged more people to actually like stick them in their pocket while they were checking them out.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, they do not, like, these aren't like bricks. We're not making like, you know, yes, it's a decent sized knife, but it's definitely bringing that big Dixon energy, but it's not actually a huge knife as far as like how it feels in hand and in your pocket. Like, it's not like you just look at the dimensions. Like, if it was just totally flat scales and all that, and like, it would be probably feel like a brick, but it, because the scales are so heavily contoured and there's weight relief pockets on the inside and there's a pretty deep hollow grind on them, like, that's a lot of material being removed. So they carry like a much, much smaller knife than they actually are. That contour makes a world of difference in your pocket. Besides the weight, just the way it lays in your pocket because it's contoured, is it makes it carry much better.
This show was actually the first time I was getting to check them out too, and they were definitely lighter than I was expecting them to be for the size of knife.
Yep. It's all those factors I just mentioned that go in like this. It's a surprising amount of material is removed during those three things. So it's, they don't end up being anywhere near as big as the dimensions would make you think that they are.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so that was really good. We sold, I had hopes too that, you know, the Mac 2 was going to still sell good at the show, even though we had, everything was kind of about the Dixon leading up to the show. We still sold quite a few of those too, so I was very, very pleased with that.
Sweet. Yeah, you had some very cool variations on the table that I was over there checking out while, you know, a few times I was over there.
Right.
A lot of your...
Yeah, our guys had kind of went through a phase there where we were, you know, I was kind of just turned some of the guys loose to experiment on some of the anodizing and stuff like that. And they came up with some really cool, some of them really wild color combinations and stuff. So
yeah,
they had a lot of fun playing with those, and people definitely seemed to like them. They caught a lot of eyes and a lot of them went home with people. So,
yep. I saw a fair number of those at the show too.
Yeah. And then I think most of the ones that were the different, And we had not even shown a lot of those color combinations. Like, we'd just been building stuff and sticking it back for the show or whatever. So, like, we hadn't even, like, hyped those up or shown them or anything. A lot of those were the first time anybody was seeing them on those, some of those crazy color combinations and stuff. So, actually, even on some of the more basic stuff, we hadn't shown it yet. So, yeah, there was a lot of that. And I think most of the ones that didn't go home directly with a customer ended up going with dealers. So, they're out there on dealer sites now they're posting them up and making some really good pictures of them. So it's cool to see better pictures than I would have been able to do. So,
yeah, that is another point for the dealers, I guess, is a lot of the times they can get, you know, really good photos and stuff of, you know, stuff that's more challenging for us who are not photographically inclined. But
yeah, It definitely helps. I mean, most of those guys either have developed some really good photography skills themselves, or quite a few of them actually hire, you know, basically professional photographers. So that,
yeah,
that's always a plus to getting you work to those that do a good job on the pictures, is that you end up with good pictures out of it that you can usually, they don't mind you reposting them and that kind of stuff. So,
yeah, I know there was one that was a frag with a tanto blade, and it was blackened and then satin on the tops, and it was green anodized on the satin. And mm-hmm. I'm not a tanto person. Yeah, I'm not a tanto person, as previously stated. But that one, I kept picking it up every time I walked over there, and I was like, "Why do I like this?" But I did.
Yeah, it was cool. It was like a toxic green color. It wasn't like OD green that we usually get when it was a satin. It was actually it was very bright. We had a handful of that color, and they were really eye catching.
Yeah, I liked that combo.
Yeah, thought that was pretty cool. So did you have anything out of your stuff that seemed to like really hit way above and better than the other stuff, or?
Surprisingly, I had a lot of people come and ask me for my fixed blades, and you know, this is the one year where I didn't really take a lot of fixed blades, but I figured, you know, that's the cat chasing the tail sort of situation. But, and the one that I don't know if it was because I, you know, priced it too low or just because it was eye catching, was that Baker Forge fixed blade that I did with the duplex grind. I don't know if you ever actually got to see it, but but that one got a lot of traffic, a lot of interest. Coy from Coy, I don't know if his last name's Baker or not, but yeah, I guess it is. The dude from Baker Forge came over and, you know, looked at it and checked it out, and you know, a lot of people entered on that lottery, and yeah, it was very popular, it seemed.
That's cool. Yeah,
and a lot of people liked the collab Dixon that we did, and
get to see that one. New owner of it brought it over and showed it to me, so that was really cool.
Which I was very happy about, because you know, previous to that, you hadn't seen it. I forgot to actually take it over there and show you, but
yeah. It was so hectic to getting everything done. Let's give everybody kind of a breakdown, like a behind the scenes. One of these days. Like I said, I'm a professional photographer, videographer, whatever content kind of person is on my radar as being, we're not quite ready to hire one yet, I don't think, but that's definitely on my radar of somebody that I want, one of our next positions that I want to create and fill.
Yeah.
So to like, dude, I would have loved to have had somebody doing like behind the scenes footage the whole time, from the time, you know, like our trip up there, you know, which is, that's not that big a deal, because it was like we literally made one stop at Bucky's and that was it. We're drive 3.5 hours and get after it. But but like unloading, you know, just going through the process of getting there, you know,
unload, set up, all that.
You know, they can see us in there literally dripping sweat. And so I'm just going to kind of, let's just walk them through kind of how it went. I think we both got there on Thursday. You got there a little bit earlier than we did, I think.
Yeah, I got there Thursday around 1 o'clock, and you know, my table setup is not nearly as arduous as trying to set up a booth, but you know, get there, get your badges, you know, and walk in the door basically, and then you start unloading stuff. You know, we went and got all the stuff out of the car, the banner, the tablecloths, the, you know, banner stand and all that, and go in and get it set up, looking the way you want it, which sometimes is difficult. We finally figured out a good solution for our banner to make it not all pulled and wrinkled and stuff like that. But, you know, so, you know, there's not much on my end as far as that. You know, it's mainly just putting out a tablecloth and erect, you know, putting the banner stand up and getting it straightened. Yeah. I don't actually put out product until Friday morning. A lot of guys do and leave their, you know, just put a sheet over their table with their knives underneath it. And I've never trusted anybody that much. They lock the room, it's guarded, you know, or whatever, but like, no,
I think that we've ever actually, well, I take that back. I have left cases, like Pelican cases with padlocks on them down there before. I left them down there like that, but we'd always put everything back in the case.
And yeah.
We kind of split the difference this year. We didn't put everything away. We took it off of the tables and tucked it under the, you know, we had like a shelf built under our main part of our booth,
yeah,
like our bar deal, And yeah. we tucked everything under there. And I actually meant to take like a sheet or something to like hang up over that just so that they're out of sight, out of mind kind of deal. But,
yeah.
You know, I got to thinking about it when it came time to make a decision on that. And I was like, you know, we've been doing this a long time and I don't remember ever once hearing anything about a knife disappearing like overnight. I mean, every yeah. year they disappear off the tables during the day while the show's on. But like, I've yeah. never, ever heard of him. And I know, like you said, a lot of those guys, some of them just straight up just leave them everything displayed, you know, like yeah. just right on the table. And at most, a lot of them just throw a sheet over it. So I'm like, we're just going to, and we didn't have any trouble.
That, I mean, that's good. I mean, and yeah, same here. I've never heard of an issue of that actually happening. It just always makes me nervous. I'm there yeah. to sell the product. So I keep the product with me. Like
and when you've got, I mean, if you've got, you know, 10 to 12, 15 knives, whatever, yeah, like it's not that big a deal to throw them back in a case or whatever and just take yeah. them with you or whatever. You start dealing with hundreds of knives, it's like, yeah, I'm not hauling these off.
Yeah, I definitely understand your position of, you know, once you get that much inventory, it's a lot harder to transport in and out of there.
Right. So to kind of elaborate then on what Chase was saying on it, so this year was actually better. The parking's been a little squirrely the last couple of years because they've really cracked down on the parking and like who can park in the parking lot and stuff, as far as like whether you're a vendor or whether you're yep. staying at the hotel or whether you're both a vendor that's staying at the hotel. So this year, since we were staying there, they made us park exactly where I wanted to park. So yep. it was perfect. The little side parking lot over there, which is pretty convenient. It's a little farther than just pulling right up to the bay doors to unload stuff, but it's close enough that like, so we get there, we park and we don't leave. Like the everywhere we went to eat and stuff, we took Ubers. So that way we had a good parking spot that I knew was close enough to just walk our stuff back and forth to, you know, to the bay doors or whatever. So we get set up in that parking spot, start unloading. And for us, it took a few loads of dollies and carrying stuff. Like our booth breaks down and most of it's not real big, but the one front wooden wall of it is kind of big. It's not really that heavy. I built it yeah. pretty like minimalist and lightweight. So yeah. I've made a homemade dolly a couple of years ago that we've used the last couple of years to haul that and other stuff in on. But that was literally the only big piece that we had this year, the way the booth was. So I was like, it's more trouble to haul that dolly up here than it is to just carry it in.
Yeah, and I liked that new dolly that y'all had.
That thing's already like earned its keep. Yeah, oh, yeah. It was just a Harbor Freight, but it's like a hand truck, but it folds down like flat so that it's like a four-wheeled dolly as well.
Yeah.
And we stacked tons of stuff on that thing. Yeah,
it'll
carry a lot of stuff in one trip. So that was fantastic.
Yeah.
We take everything in there, and then once we get all the pieces in there, we start setting up. And it wasn't that elaborate for us this year. The way we basically, the only thing that there really was to like put together or assemble was the one main wooden bar in the center. And the way I've got it designed, it's just a few wood screws, and it's not, you know, the braces are already kind of all on there. So I have to take one end of them loose and swing them up to the right position and screw them back into place. And
yeah, I liked that system of just swinging them and, you know,
yeah.
then you got two points of contact and it's secure.
Yep. Yep. So I'm going to look at, we've already got plans that, you know, probably do things a little different for next year. Not drastically. I'm still trying to decide, but anyway, but then like we had basically put that together, fold up tables, went on either side of it. At the end, they just get unfolded and tablecloth put on them. And then our big banner for the back, it wasn't that difficult. We just basically had a couple of people get up in chairs and you helped us with it. And just basically we're zip tying it to the framework behind us. There's already, you know, a framework back there. It's a back wall and has a curtain hanging on it. So we're just, you know, zip tying it to that framework. That was, man, those things, I'm so glad that that technology or whatever has developed where they can print stuff on that fabric instead of the old vinyl ones or whatever. Cause man, those things, they look so good and they're so much easier to deal with, to fold up and transport and to hang, and like they don't get wrinkled and stuff as bad as the vinyl and stuff did where you fold it. Like it's just, those things are great. Like, yeah, I love those fabric banners. So
it looked really good. I was, you know, like the clarity on it was very good as far as like, you know, especially on the pictures of the knives and stuff that were very like, you know, they look true to form.
Yeah, it was, yeah, surprisingly good how well they were able to actually print those huge, you know, talking about like a 4 foot tall picture, you know, something blown up that much is typically not going to. But I also will give a quick shout out too. I don't know if he listens to the show or not, but the buddy of ours on Instagram, Panda Pirates, all the pictures basically that we use for our advertising the show. So we had the big banner on the back wall. We had like a flag kind of banner hanging up, sticking up off of one corner. And then we had, because we were one of the sponsors of the show, we had the two big cardboard cutout signs spread out, one out in the lobby. I think the other one was inside the show somewhere, but I'll be honest, I never even saw it.
We didn't
make it around hardly any of the room.
Yeah, but I saw the one out in the lobby when I went to go get my badge, but other than that, I didn't see them.
It's always the way it's always been before is it'd be one out there and one inside the room somewhere. I never made it all the way around far enough to see the other one. But anyway, all of those pictures were done by Panda Pirates, is his name on Instagram. So you guys go check his work out if you haven't already. If you follow us and are seeing our posts, you've for sure already seen his work because we do collaboration posts and stuff with him quite a bit. So
yeah, he takes really good pictures.
He's knocked it out of the park for us on photography for our marketing stuff like that. So
yeah.
But yeah, so then we get, and so on top of all this, just so people can really paint the picture, you can be glad that the show can't provide smells because literally I wasn't joking earlier when I said we're in there, cause they have the big bay doors open for everybody to load their stuff in there. Right. So they don't have the air conditioners on. So you're in there and thankfully it wasn't as hot as it has been in years past, but it was still plenty hot inside there. Like it's, you know, big old room like that in June and Atlanta with no air on.
Yeah, and you're going back and forth to the truck carrying stuff. I mean, you're setting stuff up. You work up a sweat pretty quick.
Oh yeah, yeah. I was literally pouring sweat.
Yeah.
And so you know you get all that done, then you like you said you get that done. You set up, and then like we didn't put our product out, but we had it. You know, we left all the cases and stuff there tucked in the booth, got it set up, and which didn't take that long. It took less than an hour, I'd say, of actual setup.
Yeah.
Probably actually less than that. We had to, lost my train of thought. There's you an edit. Blooper reel. Sorry. So we had to, if we hadn't spent some time talking while we were setting up, probably could have gotten it done in 30, 45 minutes. But of course, we end up chit-chatting some with other people come around and we end up going ahead and getting the talking festivities started for the weekend.
Yeah. And, you know, that is one good thing because, like, you know, we were still able to kind of, while you and Amy were talking, we, you know, me and Luke and Trey were able to kind of set up the tables and get the tablecloths and, you know, do some other stuff in the meantime. So,
yeah, it definitely helps having help there. And to include, we appreciate you helping us out because it definitely helps to have, you know, because it's, I don't mind doing the work, but like I said, it's, you can't just, you know, you got somebody that you hadn't seen in a year or whatever, like, you know, which is usually the case at these shows. And so like, you just, it's hard to just ignore people or whatever and feel rude to say, I gotta finish going over here and sweating my balls off, putting this booth up, but talk to them a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, whenever y'all got there was actually a couple people at my table, a couple friends of ours, Brian Good and Bryant Hollinger. So I was over there with the Brian and the Bryant. And so I was like, oh, well, McNeese is here. I'm going to go help him set up. You know, they were over at my table talking to me at the time. And so I was like, well, you know, I'm going to go help them set up and I'll see y'all later.
But that's cool. We definitely appreciate that.
They're fellow makers, so they understood. But, you know, it's a little different with other stuff.
Yeah. And actually, so like I actually left out a couple of steps there. I'm just trying to. I don't know. It's not that big of a deal, but for those of you that have never, you know, been on that side of the curtain, just so you kind of see, like I said, I would love to do like an actual like, document it with a video maybe in a year's coming up. But like we got there, we actually got there. They told us where to park. We parked and then we walked in and checked into the hotel so we could get our parking pass and stuff to put in the truck. And so we ran our stuff up to the room and we were actually Luke and Trey worked the booth too. And we had actually a lot of the stuff, the product and stuff particularly, was in Luke's truck. So, and we got there a little bit ahead of them. So we went ahead and checked in, ran our personal stuff up the room real quick, and then actually ran up to a room because we rented, we had like three rooms between us and all the people we had there.
Yeah.
And the one that we were staying in was not ready. So we had to, we stuck our stuff in their room and then had to go back and grab it later and go up to our room once it was ready. But anyway, so then we go back down and go get our badges because you can't get in to take your stuff into the hall. So the badges are set up out front. Those of you that have been to the show, like the big hallway, the entrance out front where you guys pick up your tickets and stuff like that, that that's where we pick up our badges as well. And so you got to go in there to the hallway in front, get your badges and stuff, and then go back out to the truck and start grabbing stuff and going in. So you, you got to have your badge on for them to let you through the big bay doors and stuff to start bringing stuff in. So
I would say that's one of my few complaints about how it's set up is that situation. Instead of being able to just go ahead and unload and get the stuff out of the truck or whatever, you know, like
it would. I don't know what the solution would be either. If they could like mail us our badges ahead of time, you know, so that we just got them when we get there and we just throw them on and start unloading. Or, you know, the only other thing I can think of is that they'd have to be set up outside the bay doors there, which would, like, I wouldn't wish that on them, to be set up outside in the heat. You know,
no, I wouldn't. Whatever,
and it could rain.
Really wish that on them either, but
I mean, if it happens to be raining, then that's not really a viable option. So,
yeah,
not, other than sending them out ahead of time, and I'm sure they probably have a reason why they don't do that. I don't know for sure what. Maybe it's to cut down on. Just off the top of my head, I would think maybe people would try to like
make copy them.
Yeah, make copies of the badges and stuff. And
Which I saw a couple people this weekend try to pass off either last year's show or
really, you
know, another show's exhibitor badge and get turned away. Yeah.
Huh. So. Well, that's good that they're actually watching for that, though. That's
Because each year they use a different color, like for the exhibitors that can get in early. Like, I think this year was purple, maybe.
Sounds right. I don't know.
But, you know, that doesn't matter now because by next year it'll be different and no one knows what it'll be until we get there.
That's right. Yeah, I'm sure that's why they can't send them out ahead of time like that, because I'm sure it would be a little, I mean, they're just little paper printed badges, so it wouldn't be that difficult for somebody to reproduce them or something. So, but it's minor. It's not, I mean, it's not that far of a walk in there.
No, it's not.
To get the badges and stuff. It's just, I know I'm always antsy to get unloaded and get everything in there and set up as soon as I get there. So
me too. And it's probably just more my fault of being too antsy about it, but you know.
Yeah, me too. It's like, we got, I think when we got there, I think they stopped, I think they closed the room at like 6 on Thursday, maybe.
Something like that.
So you got to be finished setting up by that. But I think we were there by like 3. So like, we had plenty of time. There was no reason for to rush, but I didn't do as bad this year, I don't think, but nearly every year I find myself getting into like a panic almost. I'm like, you know, just get myself too worked up and excited of like, all right, it's got to get done. I got to get it set up. We got to hurry up. We got to. And then for no real reason, like we got plenty of time typically. So it's not a big deal.
Normally that panic usually hits me Friday morning. Like I get in there and I'm trying to get the table as perfect as I can perfectly make it, and I'm never happy with it.
I do that too.
Yeah, and I just eventually usually end up walking away, and my wife fixes it.
And then we did we helped ourselves a little bit this year with that because we actually had not everything, but a lot of the stuff we already had price tags on them and stuff, and that's one of the things that typically takes us a good bit of time as we're setting up, putting price tags on stuff. So that for sure helped.
So that's sort of, you know, I guess the behind the scenes of, you know, what we do on Thursday while you guys aren't there. And, you know, for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, of course, you guys know, that those of you that's been know what goes on. But like I said, we didn't get out much for this particular show. But on Sunday, I got a little bit of time to go walk around. I was supposed to be buying materials, quote unquote, but it was more so just to go walk around and, you know, see some stuff because I had been behind the table all weekend. There were a couple people that I ended up, or a couple things I ended up seeing that were pretty cool. First one was from Dead Reckon Knives. They're a company up in Ohio. They have a full carbon fiber integral button lock model coming out. I don't know if this was the first time that that's been seen or not, but it was the first time I had seen it, and it was really cool. It was very, very light. It was, they used like fat carbon and stuff like that. And it was, you know, fully milled frame out of that stuff. And then a button lock with a MagnaCut sort of clip point blade, more a clip point in the terms of like a Spyderco paramilitary type of blade with an opening hole and a flipper.
No, I was following along with you there, picturing it.
Yeah, it was very, very cool. Had a bunch of lightning holes, and it was contoured, you know, like Coke bottle sort of contour. Had some cool milling through the, I guess, the, you know, the spine of the handle. Right. Yeah, it's not really a backspacer, but had some, you know, cool opening lightning holes, I guess. It was very, very cool to see. Yeah, they were right across the aisle from me and to the right a little bit, like they were one table over from me. And it took me until Sunday to make it that far, so... I didn't see what they're retailing for, but they are pretty cool. I know they have been making like aluminum button locks for a year or two now, and I knew they were pretty good, but these fully carbon fiber integrals were very, very cool. One of those that I would definitely wouldn't mind if I picked up, but you know, doubt that'll happen because I rarely spend money on knives these days, but another one I saw was more of a custom maker. His name is Derek Pretty, maker from New Hampshire or Maine, one of those up there states, making really cool, just handmade customs, and just recommend you guys go check them out. They had a bunch of different models and, you know, had some big swashbuckling clip point blades. So that obviously drew me in. But yeah, Derek Pretty, and that's Derek. And Pretty, instead of pretty with a Y, it's Pretty with an I at the end. So Pretti knives on Instagram. And really reasonably priced. At the show, they were $400 for fully handmade folders. So
very cool.
Yeah. And the last one I wanted to give a shout out to was actually a maker I kind of became familiar with the last year at Blade Show. A bunch of people kept bringing them around to me and being like, hey, have you seen this yet? And it's Bober knives. So Bober knives. And can't remember his first name. I met him this year. Last year I didn't get to meet him because he was over in the other room. But this year I got to actually meet him. We went to a dinner together. And really cool dude. He just seems to be coming at it from more of a machinist person who's good with his hands type of route, more so than just a traditional knife lover, I think I would say. It sort of by his own admission, that was what he said. He was like, I don't know all these people. I just thought it'd be cool to make a knife. So, but he makes really cool handmade customs as well.
Very cool.
I know you said you didn't get to walk around much either, but did you see anything that was really fun or interesting?
Not that want to give a shout out to there. I just didn't get to. Yeah. I was always in such a hurry to get back and forth to the table, and then I think about the only booth that we stopped very shortly at a couple of our friends' booths just to talk. You know, we weren't even honestly really even looking at product. We were just, you know, stopping to say hi, kind of make the rounds, whatever. But as we were flying through, and that was literally just, we didn't get to anywhere near close to all of our friends and people that we would have liked to have spoken to. But.
Oh, yeah. Me either. I didn't see like Nico and Bastion at all this year. I didn't see a couple other people that we normally talk to this year.
And we always stop by, and, you know, at least once or twice, but we didn't even make it into the tables at all. We never even stepped foot into the aisles of the tables, I don't think. So.
I don't think I really made it to the booths except for to your booth. I did try to go buy some stuff from Tie Connector, but they were already sold out of what I needed. But you know,
we did have a really cool conversation, which it always is cool when we get to have a conversation with him. But we got to go over and talk with Sal from Spyderco for a good little bit. I say a good little bit. It was, I don't know, 5 minutes or something that we actually talked to him. Of course, we have a relationship with those guys from the Big B, but it was really cool. He's always got just great, you know, insights and like wisdom and stuff. Like if you need to be a sponge when you go over there, because it's, you know, he's going to give you some wisdom if you just shut up and listen. So had some really good wisdom and stuff from him, to include like kind of how they've, and honestly, it's kind of like I hadn't necessarily thought about it. I didn't necessarily know as much, but from what he was, until he was describing it to me, but the way he's describing it to me, the way they've always tried to like build their company and build it around their employees and build their employee, you know, family up and everything, like, was very relatable to us and what we're trying to do. So that was really cool to hear, you know, and talking about, you know, like he was talking about, you know, he loves cars and stuff, but he was talking about, like, you know, instead of going and buying a, you know, super expensive sports car or whatever, then he would rather spend that money to put more machines in the shop or whatever. Like, just kind of had that mindset about things of always trying to, you know, thinking about the business first and the business and the family of employees that they have, you know. So that was some really cool wisdom from him on some of that. And then I think nearly every time we've talked to him, he ends up giving us a coin of some kind. He gave Amy one that I forget which one it designated now, because the whole weekend's a blur, but I'll have to go back and get her coin out and look at it. But that was super cool. And it was really cool. So we always talk to they have the booth set up with all the like prototype, you know, concept stuff down on one end. And that's what they still have one of the handmade Dixons in there that they've had for, I bet they've had it for like 4 years now. It's 3 to 4 years, I know.
Yeah, I think I saw it at the 2019 Blade Show.
And so they've had it, you know, taking it around and, you know, potentially a candidate for future lineup, but, you know, don't really.
That would be kind of cool, especially given that newer one is, you know, bigger and, you know, different a good bit. You know, it would be interesting if they actually did pull the trigger now that, you know, there's another sort of one on the market.
I think that they've always, I mean, not necessarily, they've had some stuff that they just designed, you know, or had people design that was just strictly, you know, just a collaboration on the design. Mm-hmm. But they've also had several, just like the McBee, where it was a custom design that was, when they started doing it, it was on the McBee, it was still being built, you know, but it's because availability was limited and the price point's a lot higher. It kind of works both ways, you know what I mean? It helps them because we would have customers that either couldn't get their hands on a Killer Bee or couldn't afford a Killer Bee, so they would buy the Spyderco version instead because it was available and it was cheaper, you know. And then vice versa, then people find us through that never even heard of us and don't know about the custom version, end up getting familiar with us through seeing their factory version. So
that was how it happened for me. Yeah. That was how I started following you on Instagram, was whenever that product release catalog came out in 2016 or 2017 or whatever.
Yeah, I'm sure that's true with probably a lot of the people that follow us now, probably how they found, a lot of them found us. So, but anyway, so they, and I don't know what their policy is as far as if there's another, because I mean, the Dixon we're doing is technically a production knife. It's a whole different animal than what they would be doing, you know, but the scale and all that. I mean, our small batch production is what we're doing, is way different in a lot of ways than what they're doing. But so I don't even know. I didn't even like really like push him or question him on that. I did tell him that we were doing it. And what was really cool was he was like, we got talking about the Dixon that was in the case right there in front of us. And I was like, and he was like, you know, I've had like two people come up today that just were demanding that I make this, that we make this knife. I was like, well, hell yeah. that's my people doing that. Hey. All right. I like that. So, and then it was in probably 30 seconds. And there was a guy and his wife standing there beside us, you know, actually looking at the stuff. We were just running our mouth and they were like, hey, can I see that Dixon? And I couldn't help myself. I was like, are you familiar with the Dixon? Like, have you seen the one that we're making? Where he's like, no, I just saw it in the case. It caught my eye. I was like, oh, well, that's cool too. I don't know, but that, it definitely couldn't have hurt to have gotten the attention and stuff. And actually I had run into, Eric, the son, Eric Glesser. We're talking about Sal and Eric Glesser, for those of you that put that together, Spyderco founder. And Eric's the current CEO. Yeah. I ran into him in the elevator, I think Friday evening or something. And, he was like, yeah, somebody brought a Dixon over there and showed it to me that you're doing. I was like, cool. So we got, our people are definitely helping us, like trying to promote them and give them a nudge, because they've definitely been talking to them about them. So that was really cool. Appreciate you guys. If any of you listening were one of the ones doing that, we appreciate it. So So yeah, we got to talk to them, and honestly, that was like, other than, like I said, stopping, and we actually did get stopped for very, very briefly and talked to Nico and Bastion from Bastinelli Knives. We got to talk to Doug some from briefly at his booth. We went to dinner and stuff. But as far as at the show, we got to talk to the attention detail some. Couple of other, we got to talk to Nottingham Tactical. We got to talk to Lee and Liz a little bit. Clay and Courtney from E-Knives. They had a really cool booth. If you guys haven't seen that, they've really, their size of their booth went up drastically from last year too, and they had, it was a really cool setup. So they had what I thought was one of the coolest ideas that I've seen in a while. I didn't even get to see them for the show. They had this big, you know, their Frenchies, their dogs are a big part of their, the whole deal, their marketing, and I mean, it's a big part of their life. And so they had this cool, like, kind of cartoon, you know, the big, like, life, not life size, bigger than life size, this big cutout, cardboard cutout thing that stood up, like the picture thing, like you had the cutout for your face. So it had like their Frenchies on it, and you could come up behind it and put your face in there and be like in the picture with their Frenchies. It was really cool. Like, it was a really cool idea.
Yeah, I did see. Yeah, I saw y'all had posted a picture of y'all doing that. And
that was a really cool idea. I like that. I like unique stuff like that, you know. So that was cool.
Yeah. Definitely a good idea. I would have never thought about that.
They had it kind of like a open booth so that, like, they had different display stuff kind of set up in the area. So, but you walk around, like, inside of the booth there, you know what I mean? It wasn't like ours where it's kind of like walled off.
Nice. Yeah.
And you got the aisle and then the booth. Yeah. Theirs was like open where you walk in and a little counter set up at the back of it or whatever. But yeah, anyway, it was really cool. But yeah, gotcha. Unfortunately, there's tons of people. I'd love to be able to do tons of shout outs and talk about all the cool stuff I saw. But honestly, we were just literally working the whole time, you know, either actually talking, you know, selling our knives, talking about our knives, or, you know, just doing the normal networking and stuff with people. Had a couple of people that I was trying to put together about some projects and stuff like that. So like it was really just pretty much all work. There was no actual like shopping. Now, I told myself I was going to at least shop for a knife this year, if not actually buy one. And that did not happen. I said I didn't not even come close to being able to look. So,
I've told a few people that have asked me about the show since it happened, that I barely feel like Blade Show happened this year because I saw so little of it. Like it almost doesn't feel like it's, you know, I still feel like I should be preparing for Blade Show to happen.
Quick this year, I think it was just because we were so busy the whole time. But like, man, it was like, now we were like, we felt like we'd been run over by like 3 Mack trucks by the end of it. But as far as how fast it went, like I blinked and it was over. I was like, wow, this is like insane. I just usually, you know, in years past, there's always been, you know, we've been blessed to be reasonably busy, you know, every year, but there's always been like some downtime, you know, and especially like when it used to be like me and Amy in the behind the table or whatever, it would be like, you know, there would be some downtime. We're just kind of like, you know, and downtime really makes it like the clock just slows down. You know what I mean? It's like, if you're just standing there kind of talking to each other, it's nice to catch your breath in a way sometimes, but it definitely makes it feel like the day is a lot longer. Like I can remember years past of looking and being like, holy crap, we've still got 2 hours left. Like, you know, it's winding down, feels like it's winding down for us, but we still got to be here for 2 more hours. But it was not like that this year. It was just nonstop, like interacting with people, and which is, again, it's great. That's what we're there for. So, but it made the show feel like it was just over in the blink of an eye. So it was kind of crazy.
For sure. Yeah. You know, just as I was sort of settling into the groove, you know, like you settling into the groove and on Saturday and you're like, okay, I'm in Blade Show mode. And then, you know, it's kind of almost over at that point. Like once Saturday night hits, you know, you've only got a little bit left on Sunday and everybody leaves. So, I mean, like it's definitely an interesting experience. And
it is.
Looking forward to next year.
Sounds like you were able to do some of it too. We were able to line up and eat dinner with people that we wanted to eat with, you know, not everybody. I mean, we would have, it would have taken us, you know, we'd had to stay there 3 weeks to be able to eat dinner with everybody we would like to have eaten with. But we were able to do some good dinners and stuff. And that was part of it too. Like we had almost no downtime in the room and stuff. Like, cause we finally, Amy, thankfully, thanks to her, she's always like saves my tail with logistic stuff and all that. And well, just everything in general, but keeps me functioning as a human, but she had made us reservations and stuff this year, so we had it somewhat planned out, which helped. But like we, you know, we would get done with the show, get up there, get off our feet for a couple of minutes, and within, you know, within about an hour or so, it was time to be, you know, kind of freshening up, getting ready and heading out to go to dinner. And then by the time we got back from dinner, one night we ended up, it was late enough that when we got back and we were so tired, we just went basically straight to the room. But then the other night we never made it past the elevators in the pit. Like we hung out technically in the lobby. I mean, we didn't even make it to the actual pit area. We were out there by the elevators and hung out and talked, you know, a couple of different nights for a little while. But anyway, it was.
Yeah, that was one of the only times I think I saw you and, you know, in the pit was down there close to the elevator. And I didn't really spend that much time in the pit this year either. Like I spent a little bit of time Friday night. I went basically did a lap around the elevators and, you know, saw some people on the other side of the elevators and then just kind of continued my lap and went right back to the room.
So here's something I was tired. And I'm curious to get your take on it. And maybe some of you that attended that like do go to the pit and do all the whole works. I felt like this year, again, like we didn't really hang out in the pit that much, but like when I would go up to the room, you know, like when we would get done and go up the room, I, you know, of course, obligatory look down at the pit and see everybody down there from a bird's eye view. And I swear it seemed like there was like maybe a third of the people down there that there normally are. Like, did you see that or was I, did I just happen to catch it at a off time when I looked?
I don't know. It's sort of both for me. Like I think Friday night it was way busier than Saturday night, which is usually the opposite, I think. But I don't know. Like it also never seemed to like pre-COVID pit is different than what it has been since COVID. Because it used to, you couldn't hardly see floor back in 2018, 2019.
You try to go, you know, like go through there, you got to either skirt the edges or you've got to like literally, you know, it's like being at like Disney World or something. You got to like turn sideways and scooch through. Excuse me. Let me get, you know, like just all the way through there.
Yeah. It never seemed to fill up that much this year. Last year it had gotten like, I even talked to JB Stout in the elevator about it last year, just randomly talking about how much more crowded the pit was than it had been in a few years past.
It felt like a drop-off.
But this year didn't seem to get that crowded.
I don't know if that translates to, I have no idea what the attendance was. You know, from inside the show, the attendance seemed like it was good. So I don't necessarily think that's it. I'm wondering if it's kind of like just a shifting of the crowd maybe, because you know, so we've been doing this long enough, and here's something else. I'll give you can't believe it's taken me this long to say it in the podcast, but like my biggest thing that like kind of stood out to me or like honestly kind of shook me a little bit at the show was the fact that we've got a really good friend and customer that came and bought a knife from me at the very first Blade show. I don't know if he listens to the podcast or not, but Philip Wolf, you've met him. So he bought a knife from us, our very first Blade show that we ever exhibited at. And as we were talking to him, we figured it up and we decided that this was our 10th Blade show to exhibit at. And like, I knew it had been a while, but like to hear that, I was like, oh my God, like this is the 17th time we've come and set up and, you know, sold knives at a Blade show. I was like, wow, I don't know. It kind of shook me, to be honest with you. I was like, wow, like. That's, you know, I mean, I know that it just time passes and before you know it, you look back and it's almost 2 decades of doing the show. It's like, it's just insane. But, I wonder if part of that too, looking, you know, the reason I brought that up then is, you know, we've seen things evolve and ebb and flow and all that over 17 years. Right. And so I feel like in the beginning, when we first started doing it, the pit was active, but I don't think it was to the levels that we were just describing a minute ago, where it was like just super crazy. I feel like it kept growing and growing and growing. It just became, the pit kind of became its own thing or whatever, especially back during the forum days and stuff. Everybody talked about meeting up in the pit and this and that. Like there was just, you know, it was a known thing, you know what I mean? And I kind of feel like maybe some of it is just that we've had some turnover in the crowd and some of the older, you know, not necessarily older people, but people that have been there a while have just kind of, because people do cycle in and out of this knife collector thing. I don't think they necessarily quit liking knives, but people for sure cycle in and out of collecting and being active and all that stuff, and, you know, going to shows and doing all that. So I'm just kind of wondering if maybe it's cycled enough that, like, it's just not as many people know about it. It's just not a thing anymore like it was. I mean, obviously it still is to some of us, but, like, maybe some of the newer crowd, you know, younger, whether that be like actual age or just how long you've been into the scene, you know, but like some of these younger / newer collectors and knife freaks, maybe they just, the pit hasn't become a thing to them. You know what I mean? So I don't know.
I mean, it's definitely possible. I mean, like, I would kind of, I don't, you know, necessarily spend a lot of time in the pit just to hang out and party and drink and all that. But, like, the fact that, you know, I was able to just walk up and meet Bob Terzola for the first time in the pit, and, like, a bunch of other makers, they're just down there hanging out, like, you know, and they're kind of all in one area. They're not, you know, behind a table. Exactly. They're not behind a booth. Yeah,
they're
and,
standing
you know,
there,
kind of have their,
you know, drinking a beer, drinking a Coke. If they don't drink, whatever. Like, they're just standing there, you know, talking or sitting at a table, kind of.
Yeah,
you know, some of them I've always thought of as like they're holding court because, like, you know, they're there and, you know, they're such a, you know, legend that people. Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes it can be hard to get close. Yeah,
ever been like somebody like that that you really want to talk to, you almost never are going to catch them when they're just standing there not in conversation. So, like, I've always never wanted to be the guy that came up and, like, put it into the conversation, you know, and like, hey, I know y'all are talking, but I'm so-and-so, and I'm, you know what I mean? If you can find an opening, it's, or even better, you know, maybe somebody that, you know, can do an introduction or something like that. That's like, oh, you never met, you know, so-and-so, let me, here, let me introduce you. Like, but it's definitely there.
There's also the thing, like, now that I'm on, you know, the other side of the table, now that I'm a maker, like, I had the opportunity to introduce myself to Rick Hinderer. He was waiting, like, he was right in front of me in the line to the elevators one day. And, you know, he was literally standing right beside me for 5-10 minutes while we waited on the elevators to go up. And, you know, I had the opportunity to talk to him a little bit, but also I was like, he's been talking to people all day. I'm going to just let him, you know, have a moment, you know, and not bother him, basically.
No, I'm sure.
Not that he would have cared.
Happily talked to
you
the whole time, you know, you were standing there and then some. But it's, I get what you're saying too. Like, you know how, because it, like, believe me, I actually get charged up and energized from talking to people all weekend. But at the same time, it is also is exhausting. Yeah. Like, it's because you're, you know, you're constantly, not that I think I'm really any different, you know, when I'm behind the booth and I am just any other time or whatever, but you still have that feeling of kind of being, like, switched on. I mean, it's always different when you're interacting with other people than just, like, your close circle. Like, I'm, you know, there's a different energy exchange and stuff when I'm, when I'm talking to customers versus talking to Amy, you know what I mean? Like, there's a different comfort level and all that. Yeah. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's a very big energy expenditure, you know, but that being said, like, it always threw, and I'm sure I could be wrong. You reach somebody that's got the amount of, you know, time in the game and fame that somebody like Rick Hinderer has, like, they might actually get tired, you know, whatever, like, it might wear on them. I don't know, but I can tell you, for me, like, I never get tired of somebody being like, hey, are you so-and-so, or like, hey man, I like your stuff, or like, you know, at any time, anywhere, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't, you know, I mean, don't be peeking over the stall in the bathroom or anything and being like, hey, but, I thought it was hilarious. That reminded me that when we pulled up, you know, I told you the whole process, we pull up, park, went in, checked in, came back out, went, got our badges. We parked to go check in and walked. We were less than 50 yards from the truck. And I hear, what's up, knife freak? And I was like, hey man, it's cool. That's become pretty much at every show now. When I get hit with that at least a couple of times here and there, just randomly walking through or whatever. So that's always really cool. I get a kick out of that.
Yeah,
but yeah. So I don't know
if
it was just me, but I feel like the pit hangout deal was a little smaller this year than it has been in years past.
Yeah, I would probably agree with you on that. It didn't seem as wild, but of course, like I said, I wasn't there.
Toning down a little bit from some of the times that it has been, and not necessarily a bad thing. There were years where it was just about out of hand.
So, yeah.
Especially if you're going up trying to go to sleep, yeah. People are still hooping and hollering at, you know, if you're on one of those lower floors, you might as well bring earplugs because they will be carrying on till the wee hours of the morning. So, but yeah. Anyway, definitely. So was there anything else that kind of caught your attention or was of note about the show that you wanted to go over before we wrap up?
Not necessarily about the show. There is one thing that I wanted to give a shout out to one of my very good supporters and friends. His name is Chris Jaskulski, also known as Good Egg Pots on Instagram. Made me a awesome coffee cup, and it's got my logo on it, and it's all swirly and cool, and it's got this really cool twisted handle, and he brought it to me at the show, and I'm just enthralled with this thing.
Yeah,
I'm showing it on the camera now, but you can't see that.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah, but I'll send you a picture later. But yeah, he made that for me, and he also brought one for my wife, and, you know, just very cool, like, you know, just to have someone do that for me just out of, you know, out of nowhere. But other than that, you know, I really appreciated all the support from anybody coming up and buying knives, just talking knives, talking about the podcast, you know, whatever else. It was really fun to, you know, get to see everybody again. My daughter spent most of the weekend hanging out with Jake McCoy. She saw Jake and was like, yeah, I'm just going to latch on to that person. So, you know, she monopolized Jake to the every degree. He was not going to turn her down because that's how Jake is. And, you know, but, I think he enjoyed it just as much as she did. But yeah, it was a great show. I wish it would have lasted longer. I wish I could have saw more people and, you know, all that, but
yeah,
I guess I'll have to wait till next year.
You know, I don't know. I have mixed feelings about it because on the one hand, I would really like to be able to go to the show, and we could at this point, like we could have this year, like I could have gone away from the booth more than I did because we had a pretty big crew there working the booth with us. So that we technically could have stepped away from the booth some, but I feel obligated to be there to talk to people because, and even the couple of times, even like just a quick trip to the bathroom or something, come back. I think literally every time that I left the booth for a minute, I'd get back and one of the guys would be like, hey, you know, somebody came looking for you, or whatever. They said they'd come back, or they came by and said, tell you hello. I had multiple people, you know, send me messages and stuff like through Instagram and all afterwards. Like, hey, yeah, I came by and picked up a Dixon, but I missed you. And I was like, I was barely gone. I don't know how this many people missed me, but
yeah.
But yeah, it was, you know, it was crazy. So I always, you know, I'd like to get out and rub elbows and see stuff more and, you know, like support other makers by going and looking at their stuff and talking to them about it or whatever, maybe even buying some stuff. But my first obligation is to our customers and stuff, our customers, our potential customers. So I always feel guilty to leave the booth because like, I'm like, you know, we're spending a good bit of time and effort and money before the show to say, hey, this is where we're at. Come see us, come talk to us. And then they come and I'm not there.
Yep.
It's like, you know, but I will say, I got to give another big shout out to the guys on my crew because we had some guys there, some people there that were first timers going to the show with us and stuff. And like, I had tons of good feedback from people that exact same people that were saying, hey, I missed you, but man, you guys were super great. They were super friendly. Like they helped me out. Like, so I was very proud. As a matter of fact, not only did the ones that came to work do a good job, but on Saturday, everybody that works for us that wasn't working the show actually came up and just to the show, just to check the show out, to, you know, kind of show support, check the booth out or whatever, hung out a little while. So at one point we had literally, and not only, we actually had of our employees plus like, you know, a couple of them, like three of them brought their girlfriends / fiancés, whatever, like respective, like, so it was like, it was really cool to meet it and to see that my guys are that invested in it and all that. So that was pretty cool. Yeah. And it was,
That's awesome.
It made me think when you said that about, bringing your daughter to the show and stuff. I was like, you know, that Hannah wasn't that young when Hannah's our daughter. For those of you that don't know, she was not that young when we started doing the shows, but she was still, I mean, she wasn't a baby, but she was, you know, a young kid. And it was kind of wild. I mean, she grew up doing Blade shows, you know, until she got to an age where she used to, of course, she'd be there all day with us. And then she finally got to an age where she was old enough that we'd let her walk back and forth to the room by herself since we were right there in the same facility. Yeah, yeah. But anyway.
Same building, yeah.
And now, like, she doesn't actually work for us now, but her husband does. And so they came, and she actually came and ran cash register for us and stuff. So she, first time in several years that she had done a Blade show with us. So it was kind of neat to see.
Yeah, it was cool to see all y'all back, back there together, you and Amy and Luke and Hannah.
It's very much a family. And so, like, out of all, and all of our guys at this point kind of feel like family or whatever. But we have, our son works for us, and our son-in-law works for us. Our main assembler is our best friend's, our son's best friend from high school. They've been best friends ever since, actually from like middle school. And then my cousin is our shop manager. He was there. And so, like, there's a lot of actual family. And then and close friends, and the other guys have, now gotten tight enough that they're kind of all like family. So it was really cool to see everybody there and supporting the company and seeing what we're doing, instead of just, it, to me, that makes them more invested in what they're doing every day. And especially those of them that actually got to see customer interactions and stuff and actually got to interact with customers, because I preach to them all the time about, thinking about the end user. Like, when we're building knives, each individual knife, trying to think about who's going to get this knife, what it's going to mean to them, that kind of stuff. And so, like, actually getting to, see that stuff firsthand, like I was talking about at the beginning, seeing people's reactions and, hearing people tell stories about a knife that they've already got or whatever, like, I really like that a lot. I think that really helps to make our guys even more invested into what they're doing by seeing, seeing the end users. So that was really cool.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, like, I had already been going to Blade Show for a couple of years when I started working with you. So I was like, I'm going to Blade Show, whether you want me to or not, I'm going, but it's definitely cool to see, like, some of the guys that had no idea about any of this,
world. They just,
like, showing up and enjoying it.
They've come into it through working with us. So yeah, it was really cool. But
yeah. All right. Well, so we seem to be waxing lyrically,
getting a little
lyrical
long.
Or something like that. I don't know about Blade Show at this point. So I think we're going to skip questions for this week. And do you have any sort of parting thoughts about Blade Show?
I got a little long winded there anyway, but like I said, that was the highlights and stuff for me. And super proud of the crew, super proud of our people. Thank all of you very much for coming by. And like I said, especially those of you that were mentioned in the podcast and all that.
Yes, thank you.
Whether you actually bought knives or not, like, just coming by and talking to us. And we appreciate you. And guys, please do let us know your thoughts on some of the stuff as far as, like, the, attendance and what you saw that was cool or whatever. Like, please put all that stuff in the comments and interact with us, because it's not as good as being in person, but we'd love to interact with you guys, all the time through the comments and stuff, even if we can't see you in person a lot. So please keep that up.
Definitely. All right. Well, on that note, we'll let your freak flag fly.